I don't know if you've noticed, but this year is sort of drawing to an end fast. This year, at some point, we were like, if only 2020 can end. Well, I've got good news for you this morning. It's getting there. It is scary to think this is the last service of November. And then we hit December, a very good month in which amazing people have birthdays. And yes, thank you, Nicole. You can come again. And as I was thinking and just preparing for this, you know, I thought it is crazy when you walk into the shops. I was actually shocked the other day when I, for the first, probably been going on for a couple of weeks, but it was the first time that I noticed that the carols is now playing and, you know, the stuff is up and it's all Christmassy. Have you noticed? The shops have lost it. The prices have gone up. I don't know what's up with this. Meat is suddenly a lot more expensive and so on. So if you haven't done your Christmas shopping, you missed it. All right. So the year is drawing to an end. Normally when we hit this time of year, then we know when the carols start playing, Christmas is on its way. And when we hit Christmas, then it's New Year before we know it. But this is an exciting time of year. This is a festive time of year. This is a year time of year where we celebrate, you know, with family and friends, and we eat way too much. And we all make New Year's resolutions by the end of the year that we will never do that again, and then we repeat it every year. Is it only funny? Man? But I know it's none of you. You're all holy. You're all good. And I think what's bad for me at the moment is that COVID is kind of threatening to spoil our Christmas and holiday plans. You know, we want to go camping, and from what we hear, George and surrounds is a COVID hotspot now, apparently. And I'm just going, Lord, I really need to go camp. Verlang so om bietjie, you know, ebb and flow, just sitting there next to the lagoon, doing nothing, just relaxing. So I'm certainly looking forward. So saints, we just need to pray into this and trust God that this thing now will go. And we need to see some change. And you know, we're going to celebrate. At least the world, I don't know what they do, but we want to celebrate the birth of Christ. Something that he actually never said we should celebrate. He instituted communion to celebrate his death and his resurrection and everything. He never said celebrate my birth. And what I take from that is not how you started, but it's how you end. And you know, for most of us, it's not how we started this year, but how we're going to end this year. On what note are we going to end this year? What is going to be the sort of, if I have to look back and go, what's the legacy of 2020? What will be that when you speak about it? What, you know, and it's interesting to see how many people at the moment are doing Thanksgiving and celebrating, just going, giving thanks. And I think what COVID has done, it's made us thankful for so many things that we used to take for granted. I think life is one thing that we're still here. We were at a Thanksgiving dinner last night with Chris and Sharon's small group, and just celebrated the goodness of God. Started, you know, kicked off the whole December eating program. So we're now in line with that. But it was so awesome just to actually reflect and spend time in company with people that are grateful and thankful for what God has done in this year. I think most of us sitting here, it hasn't been an easy year. And yet, here we are. We're still alive. You all look so good. Especially those that I can't see. They look absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, okay, leave that there. But as we end of this year and as the world sort of prepare for Christmas, I thought it will be good for us just to consider Jesus. And that my title of the sermon this morning is just Jesus. Because in everything that is happening in this world, where is Jesus? And where is he in your life? And what impact does he have in your and my life? And it's so easy at this time to get sucked up and part of what is happening at the world that we lose sight of the most important thing. And that's why the worship set list really just blessed me so much this morning, in that it is actually really about Jesus. And us focusing on him, us worshiping him, and so on. And, you know, I just want to maybe ask a question to you this morning. And it might seem like a Corbis, but it's a stupid frog. But I want to just ask this question, ask you just to consider it quickly. But who is Jesus to you? No. What image do you see? What emotion are you experiencing? What is going on in your heart when you hear the name Jesus? What stirs? Is it excitement? You know, is it expectation? I don't know. What stirs in your heart when you hear the name of Jesus? Because he is the beloved Son of God. He's the one, and I mean, we're going to do a baptism later, and it, probably the most beautiful part in the Bible for me is where Jesus gets baptized, and the Father moves everything to let it be made known that this is his Son with whom he is well pleased. That blesses me so much. I tell you, that to me is so cool that God took the time to rip over everything and speak. Because he's proud of his Son. But who is he to me? Have I become so used to the name that it sort of lost its power? When, just maybe think back when you got born again. I remember when I got born again, we used to, and I've said this before, I know, but we used to have the slogan, radically saved. Because that was who I was. And you know, I wasn't a bad guy. I was, you know, kind of the average do-gooder, never did seriously crazy stuff, maybe throwing stones on other people's roofs to have fun, you know. But never did weird stuff. And I remember meeting Jesus, and it changed and transformed my life completely. Being in his presence, spending time with him was probably the most beautiful thing and the most amazing thing for me at this time. But who is it to you today? Have you become so used to that name that the power of that name is lost? You know, you guys share the testimony, Cynthia, just calling out on the name of Jesus when the car was losing control and that car came to a stop on a gravel road, nogals. Mm-hmm. And I know gravel. You don't just stop on a gravel road. There's so many miracles that happened that day, but the power of that name. You know, have we become so part of this world, or maybe have religion had such an impact in your life that the name of Jesus is not what it's supposed to be to us, to you, to me today. That it's sort of just another name. You know, when I pray and I say in the name of Jesus, do I actually believe that there's power? Do I rebuke demons? Do I take authority? Do I speak to sickness in the name of Jesus and know that it's going to happen because there's power in that name? Or is it just another name? Who is Jesus to you and me? See, because this festive season is not celebrating that. In actual fact, as we look at the world, you know, they're rejecting the truth of Jesus Christ quite vehemently and seriously at the moment. Now I want to read to us in John 14, and I hope you can see the PowerPoint here good enough. Let's just see if it works. All right, John 14 verse 1 to 7 says this, and it's a beautiful portion of scripture. It says, let not your hearts be troubled. Love how it kicks off here. Let not your hearts be troubled. And what a great message for us at the end of 2020. Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't let it be troubled. Stop it. That's biblical counsel. You know that the most biblical counsel I can give you is the two words. Stop it. Okay. So, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Jesus speaking here. Believe in God. Have faith. Have full confidence. Put everything. You know, if you were a gambling man, this is where you put all your money on the table and you say, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus. In my Father's house, and this gives us hope, doesn't it? Are many rooms. If it weren't so, I would have told you that I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. What a great hope. I mean, this world is not the end. Whether I make it or don't make it here, doesn't matter. I'm going to be with the Father. If I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, then I'm going to be with Him for eternity. He's preparing a home for me. He's building a house just for you. No? That is quite special. And you know what's amazing? And I'm sure we're going to see this when we get there. He's prepared it exactly for who you are. Because He knows you intimately. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said, Thomas. Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? So he's like, excuse me, where are you going, Jesus? I can't see what's going on in your head. You know, what is happening here has to be Thomas, obviously, because he's so focused on the here and the now that he misses what God is actually about to do. And is that not true for each one of us as well, that we get so stuck in, so focused, everything on the here and now that we miss and we fail to see what God is about to do? So let us not be like Thomas at the end of this year going, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. Where are you going? The only thing I can say to you is if Jesus moves, just leave with him. That whatever you do, don't stay stationary in one place. Trust him and walk with him. Okay? And Jesus answers him. He says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And I mean, just in that statement, there's so much. But I love how Jesus answers him here. Like, listen, Thomas, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And I know we quote the scripture. Now, I don't know how many of you uses a GPS. Right? Do you use a GPS? If you don't know where you're going, you switch that thing on. And you trust it, right? Sometimes. Well, I don't trust that auntie at all. You know this, but I always jokingly say that it's the only woman that I know that handles rejection very well, because I just do what I want and then she goes, I'll be recalculating now, and then she's back with me. Okay. But we daily, you know, and maybe not daily, but often we make use of a GPS when we want to get to the way we want to go. And you know what I hate about a GPS? Is when I'm setting the route, and now, like, you know, in an area that you don't know, you're not familiar with, and I place my trust in the life of my family and everybody in this little device, saying that I know the way I'm going. And I'm driving, and it's turn left, and it's turn right, and everything, and then you drive through a dodgy area. Has that ever happened to you? It freaks me out. I'm like, excuse me, I might die here today. Do you know this woman? Huh? And you just say, follow me, I know the way. But this way that you're taking me is really dodge. I remember one day driving, and I was actually in the car with other people, and I was the only one that had my phone there. And we sort of got lost, and I said, no worries, man. Got this thing going. And we drove through the area where I thought, okay, now, Jesus, I'm coming home. I don't know if we're going to make it through here. I was really stressing. But yet, we trust these devices. And here, Jesus speaks to Thomas and he says, listen, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. And I guess the question that then has to be there is, but do I trust Jesus as the way? The Amplified puts this actually, you know, in an amplified kind of way. And he says, Jesus said to him, I am the only way to God, the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had really known me, you would also have known my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. So it's like, Jesus is saying, I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life. What I want to do over for today and then the next couple of Sundays, I just want to explore what Jesus is actually saying here. If he says he's the way, what does he mean? If he says he's the truth, what does he mean? If he says he's the life, what does that mean to you and me? Or is it just one of those slogans, one of those sayings that, you know, we'll slap it on a coffee mug or on the back of our car and that's it. But do we really grasp and understand what this is, what he's saying to us here? What he's saying to Thomas? Do we understand it? And how do we then align our lives with that truth? Or are we choosing another way? Because the reality is in this life, we often choose the other way. Well, I hope not. What way are we walking in? If Jesus says this, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, how does it affect your and my life? And at the moment, I think many people fail to recognize that truth. Many people are rejecting and challenging Jesus' statement and saying, listen, but there's so many other ways. We have options. I always just wonder, what if your option is wrong? Like, when do you want to find that out? In John 20, 31, and John 20 sort of concludes why the book of John is written. So this is the goal, right? So everything that is there, this is the goal. He says, but these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So the purpose of John, the purpose why John is writing this book, the purpose why John is putting these things down in scripture for us to read is so that we may believe. So that your faith and my faith may grow, that it may be established, that it may be strong, that we don't miss what God is wanting to do in our lives. That we know the way, that we understand the way, that we can walk in the way. That we do not choose the wrong way. And I know Jesus will never lead us through dodgy areas. But if he does, there's a purpose. It just makes me think, why did he take him through the Red Sea? There was another route. And he just chose the route that they least would have expected. Why? Because he wants to show forth his glory and his power and his majesty and his might. And if he wants to choose a route and take me in the way that he wants to walk and he goes through the Red Sea, then yes, please. I want to see that. Can you imagine walking through the sea? I'm going to Oz. I'll see you later. And the sea goes, root. Oh, man, come on. We shall walk by faith, right? But if I could just break down the statement of Jesus here, and you know, it's a very powerful statement that he makes, and it starts with, I am. Two words, I am. Very powerful words, I am. The way, the truth, and the life. Now, in the Greek language, that I am is a very intense way of referring to oneself. So Jesus chooses these words very deliberately. And it's like saying, I myself and I only am the way. So he's sort of getting rid of all the fluff. Everything that is around it, he's saying, listen, I am. And what was the answer that God gave Moses when he said, who shall I say sent me? He just said, I am. Profound that Jesus uses the same words here that God used to identify himself. And I'm sure to his crowd at that stage, you know, that would have meant a lot. I am. Okay? And in making that statement, by saying I am, he excludes everything and everybody. Every other way, every other path, everything you can take, he excludes everything by saying I am. So there's no other way. There's no other plan. There's no other truth. There's no other place to find life. He's sort of going, this is it. Interesting about this, like I said, it reflects the name of God, the Hebrew name Yahweh. Powerful. And that's why they would have understood. Can you understand why they hated Jesus so much? Because he was saying, I'm God, and they're going like, nah, you're sitting right here, but we know you. You're not God. I mean, it must have, you know, blown their minds quite a bit at that stage. And in that name of Yahweh, I am, there's power, there's authority. And Jesus says, I am He. You know, but when we think about Jesus, is that what's still true in our hearts? Is that still what resonates, what releases the power of the kingdom of heaven in my life? When I understand that I am is leading me. I am walking in the name of Jesus, in I am. Like John kicks it off and he goes like, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he defines it there, right there. Or have we just become about church and all the stuff? Is it still about I am? Is this sun bothering? Is it okay? Is it just me that feels? Yes, I'm very holy today. And then Jesus goes and he says, listen, I am the way. Oh, just think about that. Think of the impact of that in your life, your decisions, your direction of your life. If he says, I am the way, how does that impact my decisions, my daily life, my walk and everything? What is the impact of that there? Because he is the only way that I need to walk in. Why do I need to walk in that way? If he is the way, why am I? What is the goal? And he ends off that saying by saying, no one can come to the Father. So if you want to get to the Father, then he is the way. If your goal, if the goal of your life, if the goal of my life is actually to get to Father God, then the only way is through Jesus. He says, I am the way. You need to choose me. You can follow your GPS. Now, I don't know if you've done this, but I've sort of got a black belt in making stupid decisions. You know, you can think about a thing, you can reason it through, you can plan it and execute it to perfection just to get to the other side and go like, I maybe should have done that one. But then there's been so many times where we've prayed and we said, God, what should we do? And we hear God and it goes like, really? Is that the way? And it goes like, that's the way. Okay. And everything makes sense. And what's the most beautiful thing for me is when we've really pursued God in weird and wonderful places, you know what? What is the amazing thing on the side that I cannot say? I cannot say it was me. Because it was all Him. He just made stuff happen and made things fall in place. And when I follow I am, He just makes things work. Even though in the physical, it's like this. We've worked so hard to get back to church, and here we are again, in the homes, and I'm going, Lord, what is this all about? But I'm trusting I am that He is leading us through this thing. And now everybody's questioning their minds, is covers, what's happening with the venue? Nah? I'm waiting for a signature. I'm waiting just for one signature, which we'll get in this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. So I'm trusting that I am His leading. You know, and if I even look at the the past couple of months with us looking for a venue, there's so much that doesn't make sense to my little brain. And I don't understand why things work like it worked. But if I look at where it's brought us to, then this is good. I actually love having the people in my house. I'm thinking, you know, this is way cheaper, less rent. We can do this. I'll just build the stoop close and then we can have church here and yeah, it will be amazing. But I have to trust and walk with I am as He leads me, because I know that He is the way. So how do I walk with Him? How do I walk in this way? I want to give you a couple of things and a couple of scriptures here. But the first thing is obey His instructions. I don't think I've put this on there. I just put the scriptures there. Obey His instructions. How many times in the read scripture does Jesus say, obey my commands? Listen to what I'm saying. If you have ears to hear, let Him have ears to hear. Hear. Something like that. If you have ears to hear, you need to hear and do. And we need to obey His instructions. We need to get scripture in our heart and do as He says. And I know we are doing this. But let's not depart from that. We need to imitate His example. Did He not say that? The works that I've done, you're going to do it even greater ones. Just imitate His example. See what He's doing. Trust Him for bigger things in your life. Sorry, that's our dog doing it. And the main thing here is to completely and fully rely on Him as the way. To trust the way that He is leading. You know, when I obey His instructions, when I follow His example, when I walk in intimacy with Him, He will show me the way in which I need to walk. Luke 9:23 says this. 9:23 says, and He said to all. This is the scriptures we don't put on the back of the car. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, I don't have time, but there's so much in that portion there that we need to align ourselves with and so on. But the main thing that I think stands out there for me is definitely the denying part. What happens when you deny yourself stuff? You don't get it. I hope you get it, that you don't get it.
Yeah.
Okay, good. You deny yourself the things that you want. And you pursue the things that He wants. Luke 14:26 says, if anyone comes after me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So there's a price to following the way. There's a price, you know, what he's saying is, it's not physically hate your parents. It is that you need to love Him more, that it almost looks to them like you hate them. I faced this when I got born again. All my decisions and everything at that stage was in pursuing Jesus, where my family kind of felt left out. They were like, yeah, you were just always busy with it, you know, Jesus. And you just want to do it. And I was radically saved, man. I was going places. And I wanted to bring glory to Him. And I was like, you're second, He's first. And I'm living like this. But you know what? In our world today, I think that has shifted. And I don't want to say that it's shifted. The emphasis so much is even on our families. It's now shifted to I. What I want. My desires, my plans, my thoughts, what I think should happen or should not happen. He says, and even your own life. And that we can talk about. If I have to deny myself, if I have to lay down my life, what will the effect be of that in my life? Sorry, I just want to. It's a cool thing. Nice. All right, so And like I say, you know, I think our world puts a lot of emphasis on me at the moment. And what we need to do is resist that. The dying to ourselves in following Him as the way, what would that look like? You know, if we think about 2021 and we want to become mindful of what God wants to do in 2021, how much of that, of myself, do I have to lay down to actually receive what He's going to give to me in the new year? Am I willing to lay down my life? Am I willing to walk away even from family and friends so that I can step into what He has for me? Am I going to place Him in more priority, His way, more priority than my own ways or my own plans? You know, this thing about my rights and so on and everything that's happening in the world, it's becoming such a priority that I think it's to the point where it's actually destroying marriages and families and everything. It's all about me. And then the second thing, that was the first thing is deny yourself. The second thing is carry your crosses, which is the other one we don't necessarily want to hear. Luke 14:27 says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Do you want to be his disciple? Do you want to walk with him? Then there is a laying down. You have to carry your own cross. Sorry, I can't do it for you. I'd love to do it for you. No, wait. Not so sure. But you know, we all have a context. We all have a life that we're living in. We all have a past. We all have a present. We have stuff that is sort of part of our lives, and we need to take up that cross and we need to follow Him. Sometimes we go like, Lord, but I can't serve you because of X, Y, and Z that's happened in my life. The reality is take up that cross and follow Him. Just like deny yourself, take up your cross and go for it. And obviously, there's a place where we need to receive His yoke because it's light. You know, and I think I can testify that. You know, if I think of who I was when I got born again, and I see that everything that God has done in my life, I can truly see that His yoke is easy. Stuff that bothered me years ago is like nothing. It's not even there anymore. It's a non-issue. Why? Because I focused on Him. And I just realize even now that we need to, you know, recalibrate and refocus just our lives. And this is the next point, is you need to count the cost. Luke 14:28 to 31 says this, for which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost? When we built the flat next door, we had the finance minister, my wife, keeping us accountable to every penny that was spent. We've still got a file in the cupboard with everything, and a spreadsheet the size of the Empire State Building that reflects all that we have spent. But you know what? Even before we did, we had to draw up the plans, get the quotes, decide whether we've got enough money. And then we realized, okay, we can't do this. We can't do X, Y, and Z. We have to abort some of the stuff. Or do it differently. Had to go through great lengths, for instance, to redesign the roof to get it to fit in the budget. But we had to make it work. And he's saying here, listen, if you want to build a tower, you have to go sit down and count the cost and see what it's going to cost you and then decide whether you go ahead. He says this, otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begins to mock him. Have you ever seen a half-finished building standing in a residential area? Drove past and go like, I wonder what happened here. Well, he didn't count the cost, I guess. Okay, there's other stuff that can happen too. COVID can happen. But this is the thing. You have to count the cost. Okay? Verse 30. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And then verse 31 says, or what king going out to encounter another king, so this king is going to war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able to, with his 10,000, to meet him who is coming against him with 20,000. And now, if you are the guy with the 10,000 troops, you better do your sums very well. because he's got double that you've got. And I love the fact that he's having the two scenarios here. He's got the house and he's got the army. You know, it's like the personal thing, but also the impact outside. So whether I'm planning stuff for myself or whether I'm planning stuff to impact the world, I need to sit down, count the cost, and finish the job. You know, even as we're sitting here, and I don't know what's happening in your life, and even those listening and that's online, I don't know what COVID has done to you. Has it derailed you a bit? Has it brought in doubt or unbelief? Has it, you know, sort of pulled you back in your faith? What is happening? Count the cost. You see, in a war, in building a house, there's always that point where it's not nice. It's tough. Especially in this case, when it's on your land and it's, or it's in your house. When you're doing renovations, have you ever done renovations, it's in your house, it's gemors. There's always a point where you think, why did we do this? But the most amazing thing is when it's done. And you know, this is it. If you count the cost, you start building, you start walking, you get on the way. Yes, there's going to be times that you feel like, yo, this is overwhelming, it's tough, but just keep pressing on. Press through. Don't back off. Don't pull back. All the enemy wants is for you to shrink back. All the enemy wants is for you just to pull back a little bit. Because I tell you, when you pull back a little bit, he's in there with 5 billion other stuff that will want to make you pull back the whole way. Serving Jesus is not necessarily easy. But it's an adventure. Tell you, there's not one thing that we've gone through that's been tough. That when we get to the other side, that we can go, wow, God. How awesome are you? When we have chosen in very difficult circumstances, financial, physical, you name them, we've done them. We don't want to do more. But when you get to the other side, you go like, wow, Lord. The times that my faith has grown the most is where the way was not so clear to me. Where I could see him just leading me. So as we speed towards this end of the year, consider Jesus. Consider who he is in your life. Consider that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Align your life to what he is busy doing in your life. He's the beloved Son of the Father. He's the one that the Father loves so much. And you know what? He was willing to sacrifice him for you and me. That means he loves you and me as much as he loves Jesus. And I'm sure if he wants to, he can rip out our heaven here now and go like, this is my beloved sons and daughters. Because that's how proud he is about you. How passionate he is about you and me sitting here. How just think of that. If a father's willing to go that way, what does he want to do with your life? Even just here in December. But what about next year? How is he going to take the year where we have to have great faith into the next year? He's laying a foundation and things are coming. And then I want to encourage you, repent of stuff if you have to. Deal with it. Don't feel skuldig. Don't not go in a pity party. Oh, woe is me, I didn't make it. Oh, yeah, I failed to believe and now I'm going to have some worms. Whatever. But get up. And this is why we need spiritual family, right? This is where we have to come to one another and say, listen, my wheels are wobbling. I'm not making this. I'm struggling. Can you please help me? Can you pray with me? Can you encourage me? But can I encourage you? Because sometimes that has to happen too, where you encourage other people in faith. Like, yeah, act fully, act fully. I don't want to do this, but I encourage. Lay your life down before him. As we end this year, just lay your life down again before him. Say, God, here it is. Place your full trust in Him. Nothing else. Everything else is going to wobble. Everything else will shift. If He is the way, then I don't have to worry anymore. If He is the truth, what else is there to worry about? If He's the one that brings life, how will my life be transformed? And then it's easy. Just deny yourself, take up your cross, count the cost, and follow Him. And that's it. You see, sometimes I think we don't want to deny ourselves. We definitely don't want to take up our cross. And counting the cost we haven't even done. And the thing about follow is, I'm never in front when I follow. So interesting, when you Jemal and Caleb was small, you know, we would camp and then we'll go on this little trail. And then I would walk in front for a very good reason, just to sort of protect the family against creepy crawlies and, you know, lions and bears and everything else, you know. But inevitably, they don't want to follow me anymore. And then there's a point where then I have to speech them. All right, if you walk in front, this is the responsibility. You have to look out for snakes, and you have to look out for stuff, and you have to warn us and stuff. And see the what do you mean, boss lace on the edge of the grass, go boss lace and train them so that we are protected. And it's amazing when Jesus walks in front of us. He's the one that goes like, watch out for this. See that. He'll clear the path. Doesn't mean the path doesn't go over stuff. But it does clear it. And it does make a way. So, as we finish off this year, enjoy it. Enjoy this festive season. But consider Jesus. In your celebrations, in your family stuff, consider Jesus. And then allow Him to be the way, the truth, and the life in your life. Let it not just be a slogan, but it may actually just be something that's in your heart.